My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Well done, Anthony. Well done. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Stream me live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. It is 5 o'clock on a Tuesday, which means it's time, plus you knew it from the air horns, for a Tischler Tuesday. That's today's Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
It's just in.
Not My Beat.
Mitchell, how are you, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. Great job with the air horns. That was well done.
Anthony, anything you'd like to say?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Okay. That was better than last week.
I mean, what could be worse? Although I still am kind of impressed that Anthony found the equivalent of a practice is over air horn. That still is just an unbelievable find. If you were looking for it, the fact that you found it by accident is kind of mind numbing. The other thing that we need to do from like a business standpoint, Mitch, is we need to find, we need to start collecting some Tischler clips for an hour opener. Like Phillips is a regular guest, has one. Standig has some from his time on the show as a regular. We got a couple other folks that have kind of their signature, hey, this hour so-and-so is coming on. So we can't really try for it, but we have to be on our P's and Q's to say, hey, let's cut that. Let's make that an hour open for Mitch Tischler.
I got you.
I will try to do as many viral clips as I can.
That's,
how about that?
You can't try. They just have to happen. But I have faith in us, Mitch. I have faith. Okay, let's get to the football, shall we? The question I'm basically going to ask you every week on Tuesday to get started. It just is a jumping off point. We now have had time to digest. We've watched whatever tape we're going to watch. We've heard some of the participants talk, including Dan Quinn, in a Monday after he's watched the tape. As you think back to the weekend, what's the thing that you're still thinking about, whether it's a good thing, a bad thing, or I'm kind of really interested in watching this thing?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think you have to start with the good thing, which is the fact that the offense ran up 425 yards. Jaden Daniels led a two-minute drive for a win, in his first opportunity to really run one of those in-game. And to me, obviously the touchdown situation is not ideal, but at the same time, it's kind of a double-edged sword because they did move the ball. Both games, they've moved the ball very well on offense. Jaden looks good. I thought he looked a little better in the passing game this week than he did last week. So I think that's the kind of positive side of it. You have to look as you talk about this win.
No, I agree with you. So I haven't had a chance to talk about the red zone stuff today. So let's dive in there. What is your hypothesis on what happened in the red zone on Sunday?
Yeah, I think early on they struggled because, everything gets sped up in the red zone. Everything's a lot quicker. Jaden's dealing with a defense that wasn't really bringing a ton of pressure. They were kind of sitting back and trying to force him to do something. But ultimately, one of the things that I kind of took away from it was the fact that the Giants couldn't kick field goals, I think, affected kind of the play calling in the red zone. Because you knew anytime you were able to put points on the board, you were making it that much more difficult for the Giants, knowing that they weren't able to do that on the other side. So I think as the game kind of kept going, I thought they got a little more conservative in the red zone than maybe they would have been. Nonetheless, all the penalties, which is a whole other issue to discuss. But I think they kind of set themselves up and recognized that you know, kicking a bunch of field goals was going to probably be enough to win this football game. And ultimately, you know, it was.
Yeah, I think that's great perspective, because one of the things that we talked about on Take Command this morning when Logan and I were talking about it was just how conservative the calls were down there. And I think a couple of things happened. I think one, they're still slowly taking off the training wheels of the drop back game. And the most dangerous place you have drop back, you know, issues is the red zone, because the space is so tight. And how many, I mean, just watch red zone this Sunday. Anybody who is not going to be watching the Commanders, because, well, they don't play till Monday night, watch red zone, watch how many red zone interceptions there are. There's a ton, because the space is super tight. Quarterbacks have to force balls in tight windows. And Jaden Daniels is a rookie through two games, has zero interceptions. And that's part of the reason why. And then, Mitch, I think one of the other things too is the Giants did a really good job defending the quarterback run game. And I think that is going to be such a big part of how they score down there, that between the penalties and a good job on a couple of key snaps by the Giants, and then you combine that with the conservative nature of the calls. And I think that's probably a smart point that you made about why they might have been so conservative. Like, and that way, that's the explanation. Not saying that that's actually a good thing. Hey, seven field goals, cool. But I'd rather have seven field goals and win than, oh, well, they went 6 of 7. And that one interception, that really cost them.
Sure, but you go back to last week, and they kicked both field goals, and they made both field goals, he would have led 5 of 8 scoring drives. And then you look at what they did this week, where they didn't have to punt. You know, if we're talking about this season through the lens of how does Jaden look, I think that you can't be anything but happy with what you've seen through the first 2 weeks. I mean, the only ball that he's really put in peril was the throw over to Zach Ertz, who just made an incredible play to rip the ball out of the defender's hands. But, you know, other than a kneel down at the end of the first half, they scored every drive. And to me, that's a pretty big plus when you're looking at, you know, big picture, what you're hoping to see from Jaden as the season continues.
Yeah, used to be number 5 on the field bad, now number 5 on the field good. That's, you know, all due respect to Tress, that's just math, Mitch.
Yeah, and listen, Tress wasn't wearing 5 and he didn't get a chance to see the field.
Nope.
Always a good thing, right?
But you should have switched to number 10 sooner. In hindsight, if that's all we needed, okay then. Mitch Tischler, Beltway Football Podcast with us here on the Hoffman Show. A couple more things on the offense, and let's dive into the defense, because that is, of course, the source of much consternation around command land. On the offensive line, Mitch, Brandon Coleman, another up-and-down day. The line overall, I think, did some really nice things. But how do you, like, what do you make of how they're handling getting Coleman involved? And if you're them, do you continue with that experiment, or do you look at the way Corn is played and go, maybe Big Luke is just going to have to do fine for right now?
No, I think they're going to continue rotating Brandon Coleman in. One of the questions I want to ask of Cliff and Dan this week is how comfortable they are with what they've seen from Brandon Coleman, and if they are comfortable, because last week Cliff Kingsbury did say they want to get to a point where they have kind of a consistent starting five. Are you comfortable with Brandon Coleman at that left tackle? And if so, do you start working some right side in for Cornelius Lucas in practice? Because, you know, Andrew Wiley has been not good. He's been not good in the pass game, but good in the run game. So, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword there too. But I think ultimately Brandon Coleman within the next week or two takes over, you know, I don't want to say all of the reps, but the vast, vast majority of them. And quite frankly, had he not gotten banged up a little bit early in the game on Sunday against the Giants, I think we would have seen more snaps from him and fewer from Cornelius Lucas. And so, you know, Brandon Coleman is going to have some up and downs. He's still going through his kind of preseason, his first look at, you know, NFL defenses and the speed of the game and all the things that, you know, you always talk about with a rookie. But, you know, his ability to get downfield and help out in the short passing game and screen game is just such an advantage to have. And I think that Cliff Kingsbury and Dan Quinn, you know, look at that and see that and recognize, you know, what he can bring to this offense and how much he can help turn a 10-yard play into a 50-yard play because of his ability to get down and pick off a DB.
They also were super realistic about their own limitations in a way that previous staffs have not been. And maybe it's in part because some of these players they picked are some of these players that they're playing, although a lot of it's around Jaden and Coleman, who they did select, but like they're not as blind to the talent as maybe some previous regimes that were like, oh, this guy's going to be awesome. It's like, yeah, but he's a rookie. He's not awesome yet. You have to plan for that. You have to be realistic with that. And I think they've done a good job with that, limiting Jaden maybe almost too much through two games. And they started to open it up a little bit as the game went on Sunday. And I think Coleman probably plays a role in that. I do want to double click on your Wiley point, though, because I do really like that. What have you made of Wiley? Because there is, like, people want to look at when he gets beat, and it's really easy to, and be like, that guy sucks. But realistically, there's also some stuff that he's doing that's really, really good and really high level, especially in the run game. How do you evaluate that right side of the line so far this season, specifically Wiley?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably one of Sam Cosmi's poorest games, and he still did pretty well outside of the penalty situation that they were in and that he was in. But with Wiley, you know, I think what you said is an important point, that this staff has a self-recognition of kind of what they can do, you know, now versus what they ultimately want to be able to do. And you see in, you know, more obvious passing downs, them sending Austin Ekeler over to the right to help pick up, you know, to help Wiley out, to help get a chip. They're lining up tight ends over there to help him out. It's just so obvious when Wiley gets beat, because he gets beat to the inside far too easily and far too often. And when that happens, that rusher gets a free run at Jaden. And it's just so obvious that, you know, Wiley, you know, made a mistake or you know, overset kind of whatever the technical issue is for why that happens. And but he's done well in the run game. And, you know, as much as you want to complain about, you know, the sacks and pressures and, you know, the penalties and the false starts and stuff, this team ran for 200-plus yards and averaged more than 6 yards on the ground. You know, that's a recipe that kind of no matter who you play, you're going to have a chance to win if you're able to kind of dominate like that. And for all the consternation about this offensive line as a whole and what they're going to look like, you know, running for 215, regardless of who it's against, you know, means something. And you have to kind of tip your cap to them for how they're able to road grade like that. And when you look at the Jaden sacks, you know, there were, I think he got sacked 5 times, and 2 of them I counted were kind of O-line mistakes / you know, issues. And 3 of them were him not quite getting rid of the ball quick enough. And, you know, I think on Sunday against the Giants, he showed a little bit of kind of that Sam Howell stuff that we saw last year, where he really wanted to make a big play and danced around the pocket a little more than maybe he could have or should have. And he could have gotten rid of the ball either early to a running back or, you know, thrown it away and lived to fight another day. So these are all, you know, growing points for Jaden and things that he's going to learn. And I think, you know, a lot of these rookie QBs come in after dominating college and being the most athletic person on the field. And all of a sudden, you know, you're used to being able to do all those things. I think on Sunday night, you saw that with Caleb Williams a fair amount. So it's just the point that these guys are going to grow and continue to grow. But ultimately, you know, I think the O-line has done a pretty good job through 2 weeks. And, you know, I think there's obviously room for improvement, but at the end of the day, I think you can't be too harsh on the group as a whole.
No, and, you know, I know it is the Giants, but that's a good front seven, like a really good front seven. Bobby Okereke's real good. Micah McFadden's real good. And Dexter Lawrence is one of the 2 or 3 best defensive tackles in the entire league. And they ran for 200 yards and largely did a really good job on Lawrence inside. So I think they deserve a ton of credit for that. Even if, like you said, there's some other things where you're like, okay, well, let's continue to work on that, continue to clean that up as the year goes.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned, and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
It's Mitch Tischler, co-host of the Beltway Football Podcast, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Okay, Mitch, other side of the ball. That's where things get interesting. I'm sure you and JP talked about Allen and Payne. Where are y'all at on, and where are you at on what these guys are being asked to do and how they're doing it?
Right. I think that's the important thing about what they're being asked to do and how they're doing it. We heard a lot from the coaching staff during training camp and preseason about how we want those guys to put their heads down and go after the ball. But I think you're seeing them kind of eating up blocks a little bit, particularly in the run game. I think you see those guys kind of welcoming those doubles to clear up the run space for Lubu and Bobby Wagner. And early on in that game, I think you saw, you know, that kind of play out pretty nicely, because both Frankie and Bobby had, you know, nice defensive plays either at the line of scrimmage or just behind it, because they were able to run free. The other side of that is you got to see these guys in the box four more than they are. I mean, they are two of your highest paid players, and, you know, you talk about on the other side of the ball, you know, how good Dexter Lawrence was and how much, you know, the Commanders' offense had to plan for Dexter Lawrence, and I think you saw in the blocking scheme they weren't going to let Dexter beat them. If you have John and Duran, who are two guys who should be thought of in the same ilk as Dexter Lawrence, Daron Payne didn't have a stat, and John Allen had two shared tackles, which isn't enough from the two of them. And more so in the passing game, this is two straight weeks now that they haven't been able to get to the quarterback or get the guy down. And quite frankly, I think that issue is leading to a lot of the issues in the secondary as well, because this defense is designed for those guys to the secondary to kind of be in one-on-ones. And part of it is there are extra bodies available to get after the quarterback. And when they don't get there, those guys have to cover longer, guys come open. You know, there are a bunch of issues. Think about all those crossing routes from
neighbors.
Yeah. If you can get John and Duran to put a little pressure up the middle, you know, get Daniel Jones or whatever quarterback it is to move off his spot and not be able to sit there and just look freely over the middle of the field, I think that looks a lot differently. And so, you know, I need to see more from those two guys. Those two guys are making too much money, are too big a part of what this defensive plan is to have as little impact as they're having.
I think that's really well put. They're being asked to do stuff that's hard. Eating double teams is hard and it sucks. And being primary pass rushers as internal guys when the other team isn't particularly scared of the edges is hard. And especially when there's probably going to be a lot of quick losses for you on the outside. But they also, like, with all of that said, they just need to be better. They need to figure out how to eat the double teams better and make the holes a yard, 2 yards narrower for Wagner and Luvu to fill and Chin to fill. And then the other thing too is if they can just sustain some of this on the outside and not have to have the extra resources dedicated to the box, or they can dedicate extra resources to the box, like, that geometry change I think will help them a lot, Mitch. And I'm very curious to see what kind of tolerance they have moving forward, like what kind of risk tolerance they have in the back end moving forward. Like, in the fourth quarter, they just were like, we're going to play cover two because Malik Nabers is killing us and we can't afford to be man to man or have a single person responsible for him. And we need bodies. And are they going to continue to do that? Or are they going to get back to what they want to be and live with a little bit of risk on the outside and hope that you know, whoever is playing corner opposite of St. Juice and St. Juice pick up their game, or in Ben's case, continue to pick up his game a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I mean, Benjamin St. Juice gets a lot of hate, I guess, you know, for his play. He played pretty well on Sunday. I mean, aside from the forced the punch out, the forced fumble, he was solid. And when they started kind of having him be the guy to cover Malik Nabers, you saw his Malik Nabers production kind of work its way down. So I was pleased with what I saw from Benjamin St. Juice on that side of the field. As you talk about getting out to the quarterback, you know, the interior guys are the guys that are paid and you want to get, you need to see more from. But the guys on the edges also, I mean, you know, Dorrance Armstrong had 8 sacks last year in Dallas in limited work. We haven't seen him beat a tackle yet and kind of, you know, get a free run at a quarterback, or at least, you know, force a guy out. And on the other side, whether it's Cleveland Farrell or Luvu lining up there, you know, you need more pressure across the front. And the D tackles are the guys that are easy to focus on because they are, you know, the named players. But those DNs have to do a better job of getting after him as well. And if they're able to start getting pressure on a quarterback, and to me, I would start bringing extra guys to make that happen. You're going to help your guys on the outside because they don't have to cover so long.
They are. The problem is right now, because teams feel like this, the Giants basically were like, we're not going to give up sacks because we know that if we give our guys time downfield, they're going to get open. And there was like 7-man pros. And so Allen's trying to beat a double team. Payne's trying to beat a double team. Dorrance Armstrong has got a tight end, but the running back's over there, so he's facing a double team. And it's like, well, okay, who's got a one-on-one? We got one guy with a one-on-one, and that guy's facing a pretty good tackle. Like, yikes, that's a tough look. And so eventually, like, it is a chicken and egg thing, Mitch, where I'm just like, I don't know which one's going to have to crack first, but something's going to have to crack, because the way the coverage and the rush marry right now is not a very good marriage. And until that becomes a healthy relationship, if you will, I think this defense is going to struggle on some level against the pass. We'll talk about it more, obviously, after we see what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase do to it. Oh, yay. That's next Monday night. Mitch and JP have a bunch of pods. Before then, they'll do their instant reaction action show after, and all the deals you can look forward to from the Beltway Football Podcast, not only in a podcast feed, Mitch, but on television or in the Monumental app on video. You guys got all kinds of stuff happening.
Yeah, listen, Saturdays and Sundays, you have a pregame show that airs on Monumental Sports Network on TV. And then Sundays after the games, catch us live on the app, on the website. We're doing our postgame pods live on TV, tons of graphics and video, really cool stuff, and you get to get instant reactions from us.
Love it. Very fancy. I was going to go down the mindful demure path, but you know what? I'm not going to do that. We're not going to do that. Mitch Tischler, everybody, check out Beltway Football Pod and all of those places we just described. And Mitch, I guess we get instant reaction style from you, because you'll be on day after game next week. You get the Tuesday shift next Tuesday, except for they play on Monday. How exciting.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I think that Monday night game is going to be quite interesting with Ja'Marr and Burrow. You're talking about teams that like to use 7-man pass pros. Yeah. You let Ja'Marr Chase run around in that secondary long enough, he's going to find a way to get open. So those guys have their hands full Monday night.
For sure, and we'll see if T. Higgins is back as well. Mitch Tischler, everybody. Thanks, buddy. Talk to you later in the week.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
That's Mitch Tischler with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back from one guy who talks about football on a podcast to the football podcast that I do, because on Tuesdays at 5:30, we give you the Take Command Jaden Daniels Tape Tuesday Breakdown. That is next, inside the tape of how Jaden played in his second game, his first win, here on The Hoffman Show.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.